Alex, good morning. Can you tell us about your links to this mysterious tomb?
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me. Absolutely, this is quite an incredible find. But basically, a couple of years ago, a colleague of mine were working on some blocks that were housed in some limestone fragments with the name Hetepet written on them. And there were about six blocks and two false doors. So that was kind of like a ritual focal point for a lot of these Old Kingdom Egyptian tombs. This name was coming up, Hetepet, on quite a few of the blocks. And we were trying to track the owner of these blocks down and try to attribute them to a particular tomb, but to no avail. So when I scrolled onto this find through the Supreme Council of Antiquities last week, I couldn't quite believe when this name of Hetepet came up, because they've rediscovered the tomb. So it's quite a phenomenal find that we can now recontextualise these blocks that are housed in two museum collections in Germany back to the original tomb itself.
How did you find out about this? Because you sound pretty up and about this. It sounds like a significant find. How did you come across this discovery in the first place?
Oh, well, it was quite simple, really. I was on Twitter and I was on Facebook, and BBC came up with this particular discovery. So, as I said, this name really stuck in my mind because we were searching high and low. And actually, from this period, the Old Kingdom, so this is around 2500 BC, this particular name is actually extremely rare. We only found about two other instances in the whole Old Kingdom period, which spans about 500 years, of this particular name. So this is quite a significant find, as I said, to be able to recontextualise these objects found in other museum collections, but more importantly, because we can actually identify the owner of this tomb and actually add further evidence. You mentioned earlier that it's unusual because we have a priestess of Hathor, and it's very unusual, actually, to have a tomb that is solely owned by a woman who is not linked to the royal family. Meaning if she doesn't have a title like daughter or granddaughter of the king or wife of the king, normally they would have a pyramid, for instance, in a royal burial ground. But here we have a priestess who has a tomb that is completely owned attributed to her own ownership. And normally a non-royal woman would actually share a tomb with her husband and occasionally her son. So it's a very wonderful find, a very exciting find.
Alex, can you describe the tomb? What did it look like?
Well, the tomb itself, a tomb is a freestanding structure. It can be made out of mud brick or it can be out of stone elements, often in this cemetery at Giza, home of the Great Pyramid of Khufu and other pyramids there. They're made out of limestone. So there are a lot of limestone blocks positioned to create small chambers and small rooms. And then often you have a shaft that's dug into the bedrock. And off this, you have a burial chamber where the deceased or the tomb owner is buried in a sarcophagus and at the times also mummified.
What was inside? How lavish is this tomb?
So on in terms of the tomb itself on the ground level, the tomb itself was as I said, limestone. All of the walls within this chapel were fully decorated. So you have all these beautiful scenes and inscriptions inside, and representing Hetepet, the owner, and also all of her family members, so all of her sons and daughters and attendants. And some really unusual iconographic details in this tomb, which makes, again, this find so unusual and so special. And again, very unique to this period. So it's quite a big find for us, I'm an art historian. So for an art historian, this is quite a significant find. Often some of the scenes that you would see in a tomb, for instance, are the tomb owner seated before an offering table that's laden with loaves of bread. Or you might see her, the tomb owner, standing on a papyrus skiff in the marshlands. So all of these sorts of daily life activities, but also some that have a ritual focus as well.
Just briefly, Alex, can you explain, is there anything to be learned from this? Are we going to find out more about perhaps the role of women in Egypt as a result of looking at this tomb?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most significant finds, because we've got a woman here. She's a priestess of Hathor. She has a couple of other titles as well. So previously, the administration, so those serving under the king, were predominantly male individuals. So here we have a woman holding reasonably high profile titles, and again has enough resources and managed those resources to prepare and commission a tomb for herself. So it's really going to probably change the way that we look at how Egyptian women at this time, the mid-5th dynasties, around 2500 BC, was at how they were actually treated, how they were to prepare and commission their own burial apartments. And this will change the way we think about it because, again, from this period, non-royal women without no links to the king, we only probably have about 15 examples of comparable tombs. So it's a very rare find.
Amazing. Will you get to see it firsthand? Do you plan a trip?
Oh, I know. I feel like just catching a flight over there now, actually.
Drop everything.
I know, exactly. I'm hoping to, actually, because we'll be heading over to Egypt shortly. So I'll definitely meet up with my colleagues in Egypt and hope that I'll be able to gain access to this tomb, largely because we've written this, done a fair bit of work on those blocks, and we'd really love to have a look at the firsthand look at the images. And we can't wait till we see more photographs released by the SBA. And, of course, publication of the tomb will be more enjoyable to read.
Alex, you're clearly very passionate about Egypt and this story in particular, but when did you fall in love with this area?
Oh, well, I think right in high school, really, in the New South Wales curriculum, there were quite a few years and segments of our curriculum that focused on, for instance, the Tomb of Tutankhamun. And really, what's not to love about Egypt? You've got gold, pharaohs, pyramids and tombs and mummies, of course. So I think from an early age, I always had such a fascination with the history of Egypt. And then when I was able to go to Macquarie University in Sydney and undertook a Bachelor of Ancient History, my interest in, really grew as I was able to take certain courses. And then I just sort of went from there and ended up in academic life, which is not my intention, certainly when I started off in my degree, but it's sort of how my pathway unfolded. So, and we're very lucky because Macquarie University is a main institution for teaching Egyptology in Australia. And we're, as you mentioned, we're part of the Australian Centre for Egyptology. So we have quite a significant amount of resources in our disposal.